I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts. I need a snack.
Never has it been more true than right now that we need a snow day. And Navidauskas was up doing his snow dance around the hot tub, as a matter of fact, in Park City over the weekend. And that is not a pretty sight. But it seems to be working, Navidauskas, as we speak.
I told you I'm a dancer, right?
You have told me you're a dancer. I just pictured it, you in those 1970s angel flights instead of that that pair of swim trunks you wear to the hot tub.
I can't get in the angel flights.
I know. And we wouldn't want to see that anyway. Just a reminder to everybody that we record this program on Thursdays for air on Saturday mornings. But our best guess is, guys, and Russ and Bob Grover are still with us, our best guess is that as this airs, the snow will be falling. And 1 to 3 inches in the valleys was the expectation, with as much as a foot of snow in the high country, which is what our resorts have just been praying for. And I know among those prayers and some of the dances, probably, Sarah Huey from Solitude Resort. Everybody dancing up there, Sarah?
Oh, yes. We are dancing 24 hours a day. We are waiting and wishing and hoping for that snow. We just want to get hammered with that storm. Can't wait.
We had Andrea on from Alta last week, and she was talking about, you know, adding fire to the dance. So whatever creativity can be brought in appears anyway to have been working. Bring us up to speed on what the season's been like since we're about halfway through now.
Sure thing. I mean, it's been a great season so far. There were some growing pains and a little, a bit of a learning curve there with all of our COVID calls. But Solitude is still known for the skiing and our great terrain. And we're managing to get people through the arrival points and on the lifts and up to enjoy the slopes with their friends and family or solo. It's a great socially distanced activity. And I think people are enjoying it a lot this season when there's demand for those outdoor activities, and when it's winter and we've got these great ski resorts in our area, that's where you want to go.
Yeah. Navi, you and I have talked about this, the incredible work that our resorts have done, continue to do here in Utah with, you know, the little that Mother Nature has supplied. There's still some great skiing to be had out there.
You know, they work magic, Tim. I always comment, if it were back in the old days when I was old, we just wouldn't be skiing because there really isn't any snow. But they know how to push it on the runs, and they know how to make it stick, and it's amazing what they can get done. So it's been a good season, as you said, but we sure need some new stuff.
To that point, if you go to solitudemountain.com, it lists, Sarah, 82 total trails, 8 lifts, 1 glade open, and open trail 67. This is as of Thursday of this week. My guess is Mother Nature is going to help increase those numbers a little bit.
Yes, I sure hope so. We'll be watching those numbers tick up. And like you were saying, even on the dry days, our grooming team spends between 50 and 60 labor hours every night getting those slopes pristine. So I've been enjoying the groomers all week. I did one lap through Honeycomb Canyon yesterday. It's a little thin. We definitely need another foot or two of snow, but it's still fun back there.
One of the things I always want to mention with Solitude is the chance to do some cross-country skiing up there. My wife is actually going to introduce a new friend of hers to come up and take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's something that I've been taking advantage of, too. Myself, last weekend, I went and rented some classic skis from our Nordic Center and took a few loops. It's not pretty because I'm a real beginner, but it's a great way to get your heart rate up and just kind of enjoying nature. If you like hiking in the summer and spring, it's like that. You get to look around and look at the beautiful snow on the trees, blue skies like we've been having. I love the Nordic Center, and it's a pretty, I would say, like a low bar to entry. You know, if you can walk, if you can hike, you can glide.
Yeah, I like that. Also noted on your website, and again, it's solitudemountain.com, there are some mountain cams that include a camera that is set on your parking area, and parking has been a big part of the conversation with Solitude over the last 12 months.
Yeah, that's right. So over the last 12 months, almost 18 months now since we announced our comprehensive transportation package, we were just seeing congestion go up in Big Cottonwood Canyon every season. And so we rolled out this package. It included paid parking, which I know was a hot topic of conversation, as well as free bus rides for Icon pass holders, shuttles for our employees, and a few other things. And we saw the benefits last season. Bus ridership was way up. Also, carpooling was way up. We were able to get more people to the slopes without impacting the canyon quite so much. This season, understandably, people are of a bit of a different mindset when it comes to carpooling, but we're hopeful. I mean, we really saw that our community values that clean air and reducing canyon congestion. And we're hopeful that value continues as it does for us at Solitude, and that people will carpool with their household. And also, UTA has some measures in place. Now, they're the best source for that information, but they are running the ski bus up Big Cottonwood Canyon, and that's still a great way to go. When it comes to actually parking at Solitude, as you mentioned, we added a live camera on our Moonbeam parking lot. So before you head up the canyon, you can check out how it's looking, how full it is. I'm looking at it right now, and there's plenty of space because, as you said, we're recording this on Thursday. We also invested in one of those lighted reader boards down at the bottom of Big Cottonwood Canyon. So when our parking is full, or if there is any kind of delay in the canyon, that's information that people can get when, you know, before they enter Big Cottonwood Canyon. I think this season the main transportation push is just about communicating information so people know what they are dealing with.
Yeah, amen on that. I think the boys, Navi, when they were in town the last time, when Mickey came down, spent a day or two at Solitude, didn't they?
Yes, they did. You know, it has great snow, like you said, lots of terrain. I love how they even listed a glade that's open. People forget that you feel so good when you ski, and by the way, you do, and it's not the skiing. You forget that you're in a forest. The whole thing happens in a forest. What could go wrong there? It's awesome.
Well, and no better way to recharge the battery and improve your spirits than to just get out of the quarantine living room or kitchen or wherever you've been holed up and get out and take in some sunshine. It really does make a difference with your health. Also, Navi likes to talk a lot about the vibe of a particular ski resort. I don't think there is a more beautiful, especially at night, a more beautiful base area that is right there at the base. It and that big clock in the middle of it kind of has the feel of Europe to me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a cozy little Bavarian village that we've got. I love it a lot.
And you've got some deals there, I notice, on the website where the fourth night is free if people want to come up and stay a while.
Yes, definitely. We have our fourth night free benefit all the time. Icon pass holders also get a discount on lodging. So for whether they're local or coming from a bit farther afield, it's a nice little getaway, little staycation. Come up and stay in the village and get on that first chair in the morning.
As you mentioned, information is key here. Just remind everybody, does Solitude have any reservation requirements or anything?
No, we don't. So Icon pass holders and Solitude season pass holders are direct to lift with no reservation or registration required. That is just as usual. That experience should be very familiar to pass holders from past seasons. For people who just want to come up for a one-off day, they do need to plan a bit in advance. Lift tickets are available in advance on our website for specific dates. We're not selling walk-up lift tickets this season. The reason that we ended that was just to give ourselves a little bit more of an ability to plan ahead. see if there were high demand days, in which case we would have the ability to cap those dated lift ticket sales in advance. We don't really anticipate needing to have to do that. We haven't yet. So I think, you know, whether you're a one day or a pass holder, as long as you're planning a little bit in advance, you should be fine.
One of the attractions for me with that Icon Pass was that I get a season's pass at Solitude. That's fantastic, all included in one price. All right, Sarah Huey, again, the website for either a look at the cams or any other information you might want to find on lodging or food is solitudemountain.com. We'll keep doing that dance, even though we expect the snow this weekend. Sarah, thank you.
Boogie, boogie. Let it snow. Yeah. Thanks.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio, final segment, and yeah, I just wanted to check. Still running. 10-hour loop if you're a Jeopardy fan or just want to drive your children crazy.
Now next week I'll write some lyrics for that, okay?
Okay, I'll be expecting that, actually. The promise of lyrics to finally happen after all these years of the Jeopardy theme song. It all started at the beginning of the show, in case you missed it, of an episode of Where is Russ? We found out Russ is back, and he's actually in the comfort of his own home in his office there in Sugar House. Bob, as we get ready to wrap up today and on the heels of our conversation with Sarah Huey, you brought up something that I almost forgot to talk about, but I am excited to talk about with some of and Sarah mentioned this, you know, we're getting more and more concerned as we get more and more traffic and pressure, really, on our canyons, specifically big and little with our ski resorts, how we are going to deal with that in the future as our population continues to grow. And there have been some ideas thrown around that one I really like is this idea of putting in some kind of an aerial tram.
Yeah, up Little Cottonwood Canyon, you know, that's a major watershed for the Salt Lake Valley, and it's getting so much congestion. Have you been up there on a busy day trying to get to Snowbird or Alta?
Well, it's impossible.
It is impossible.
And
the
parking
amount of pressure
is even
on
bigger
that
problem, yeah.
It's crazy. I you know, I like the idea a lot. I love the idea, and it's getting a lot of support. You know, Utah is not just skiing is not just an afterthought. In Utah, this is a major industry in Utah, and we are a world destination for skiing, and so I think we need those types of services and amenities.
Russ, you have any feeling one way or the other about
this? Well, no, I mean, the gondola, I mean, there's only so many ways you can get up there. You could fly up there, helicopter people in, which is not practical, and neither, it's not a very clean thing, and then rubber tires, and then the gondola, and gondola has always been a good idea from the first time they introduced it. It's just how expensive it is. And where are you going to park all the cars? That's the next problem.
Well, they're going to have to come up with a tiered parking system down below. But I think that's probably the least of what would be involved in getting this done.
Right.
This gondola, and you call it a gondola, I call it a tram. If it's anything like the conceptual drawings that I saw of it, it would really be something. And you could actually relax and just enjoy the view on the ride up instead of being stressed out on icy roads.
Yeah, I think this will, I mean, and during the summer months, what a great, you know, ride that would be. And can you imagine in the fall season of going on the gondola up through the canyon with all the fall colors? I think it's a great would be a great addition to the community. It relieves a lot of the congestion and traffic up there. You know, when you go to Europe, I've skied in Europe, and when you go to Europe and you're in the areas, that's what they do. That's what they have up there. And it works very effectively.
Some people have asked questions about cost, of course, being one of the primary ones. But the other thing about how would it operate in winds? And I was reading this week that they said it would operate in up to 68 mile per hour winds. You know, and you wouldn't want to be skiing if it was any worse than that. No. Matter of fact, you wouldn't want to be there on that day. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm not a big snow guy, but I think that's evident. But how many people can you put? I mean, I've been in some gondolas, and how big of a gondola can they build, and how many people, how much weight? And I mean, would you put seating in that, I would assume? Or are you just got to stand all the way up there?
Well, you're going to have skis in hand, so my guess is they wouldn't worry about the seating part of it. I'm, again, these are all guesses on my part,
yeah.
But I would think it would look a lot like the tram that takes you from the base of Snowbird up to Hidden Peak. And okay. And if that's the case, it's not that uncomfortable. Of course, it's going to be – right now we'd be having pushback on it because you wouldn't want that many people squeezed into that small of a place.
Well, that's true.
But you talk about the cost of it here. They said the system would cost about $393 million, a lot of money. But it's $77 million less than road widening and $110 million more than an enhanced bus solution. But I would think that, you know, once you get past the environmental impact of putting in the stanchions that will carry that gondola up and down the canyon, the environmental impact would be fairly minimal after that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, widening the road certainly wouldn't be a better solution to impacting the canyon. The train is very expensive, far more expensive than, I guess, the gondola would start. I read that it would start somewhere around Lakai, and then the ride to Alta would be around 27 minutes and another, 8 or 9 minutes or something like that to Snowbird.
Yeah.
Vice versa.
And it sounded like the governor, we've got to wrap up here, but it sounded like the governor would be leaning toward this as an option, which I think is fantastic. How long it would take, we don't know, but I did see that UDOT's going to spend the next year developing an environmental impact statement and preferred alternative with a final decision expected by the end of 2021. And there will be some additional cost on top of that number that I gave of $393 million. For the infrastructure for parking and tolling and some of the other things. But the cost of operating is also less than what was predicted for bus options as well. So anyway, something to look at, something we'll be talking about, I'm sure, in the weeks and months ahead. That's going to do it for the show this week. Don't go anywhere. Oh, Russ, thank you. It's good to have you back, by the way.
You're welcome.
But get your number out there. Get your number out there for folks that may want to make their plans for the spring and summer months with a sat phone.
It is time to start planning. 801-450-8317. Give us a call. SkyCallCommunications.com. We're building our schedules up right now, so don't wait too long.
Yeah. And, Bob, tell them where to find you on the blog.
Very simple. RoadTrippingWithBobAndMark.com.
Don't go away. The Greenhouse coming up next. Maria and Ton to get you through the next 3 hours here on KSL. And we'll see you Monday morning at 5 for Utah's Morning News. I'll be back with Amanda Dixon.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.